Hello, my friends. Today we are talking to Marcelo, the founder and CEO of Uru IT, and we discuss ways to beat attrition and retain top talent, benefits of working with a nearshore team, and creating better relationships by treating your vendors like key partners. All of this right here, right now on the Modern CTO Podcast.
Here we go.
This is the Modern CTO Podcast. Hello, Marcelo.
Hey, Joel. How are you doing today?
Amazing. How are you, my friend?
Oh, good, good. Enjoying the almost spring here. So it's getting better. What about you?
Well, I was in Colorado last week, so I got to escape the heat of Florida. Oh. But now we're back and it's just starting to break into like the fall time. So
yeah. I am planning, actually, I am taking one week vacations in 2 weeks. I'm going to Miami with my family.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, it's a short trip, but I also need to do some business there, but I plan to enjoy the beach for sure.
See, I like that. That's what I do. I mix my work with my vacation. So I go somewhere where I have business to do, but I also have a couple days.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, if you can do that, it's much better than traveling alone and spending a week. I don't typically do that, but in this occasion, I could manage to do that. So
where are you right now?
Right now, I am in our headquarters in Montevideo in Uruguay. So yes, I am working from the office today.
Is that where you started the company?
Yes, we started in Uruguay for sure, in Montevideo. We did start I have a business partner that we started together, a friend. We started actually at his barbecue, so with a few desks, yeah, typical, you know, garage story. And then we moved to other offices as we grew, and we ended up in this big house. We have room for about 80 people. Just in the financial district here in Montevideo. So yes, this is where the headquarters is, and we also have a couple of offices, actually one in two in Colombia, and we are also incorporated in the States, but yes.
Now, when you started, did you take a bunch of venture capital or did you just grow off of cash flow?
Well, no, it was bootstrapped. So I think actually that was of the things that I regret a bit, because obviously, we did everything with our savings. And at the very beginning, it is really, really complex, because we started with projects. At the very beginning, we had good projects coming from Microsoft, for instance, was one of our first clients, but those were like kind of fixed price. And so we had to, you know, meet some deadlines to get the invoice approved. But at the same time, we had to pay our talent, our developers, and so cash flow at the very beginning was kind of tricky. And as I say, we were using our savings, credit cards, whatever we had near us. But it was a different timing. Right now, it's easier to get funding, to get investors, angel investors, in particular in Uruguay. That has been changing a lot in the past few years. But 12 years ago, it was kind of not that easy. Anyway, we did get, like, you know, people or investors looking to maybe put some money in, but, you know, not the smart money that we were hoping to get, like more like, you know, financial investors. And I think that is what I regret right now, is not taking one of those offers, because maybe we could have done something different.
Yeah, but you guys are growing like crazy and you're doing amazing things right now.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right now, it's a totally different story for sure. I am talking about the first year in particular, or the couple initial 2 years, you know, that, yeah, it was difficult. And family was always around to help, you know, and paying some checks as well. But we did everything, from our own pocket. Right now, yes, we continue growing, but...
Of all the interviews I've done, I've never had one person say it was easy the first couple of years.
Yeah, I bet so. No, it was it is really fun, and you learn a lot. And yes, and I think one thing that we did that was kind of the right decision is that I from the very beginning I had some billable hours, you know, some time that I was kind of a PM in some of our projects, but eventually I ended up doing sales and more like management, and my business partner took on the technical side of the business. And I think that was a smart decision because we had leads coming and pipeline and so on. I think that was one of the things that helped us a lot to continue growing. If you don't do that, you know, it's like a very, it's a risk. And I think that we did it the right way.
So you stepped up out of necessity.
Oh yeah. So I decided to focus more on sales, marketing, and so on. I was pretty good with digital marketing at that time and SEO and those type of things. And I started to travel a lot and visit, you know, attending trade shows in the US and so on. And just when we were like less than 1 year old, and you know, it was kind of an investment to do that. And we are in Uruguay, in South America, and paying for tickets in a trade show when we are starting was kind of a risky move. But I think at the end, it did help to us to gain some visibility in the market, start getting some leads that are so critical when you are, you know, growing and starving for new projects.
So Latin America is growing like really fast. I could tell because they're one of our top countries, like when we look at our listener stats. And specifically, I don't say it correctly. I say Uruguay, but you say it better.
Uruguay, it's okay, Uruguay. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's growing a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think that is actually one of the things that I really like. Right now, the timing for Latin America is great. And not only for companies like us, you know, software companies building products, but eventually for the entire entrepreneurship ecosystem here, it's growing. We have lots of investment coming from banks all over the world, like SoftBank, for instance, announced $2 billion investment just in startups in Latin America. So that combined with the education and the government's pushing a lot for IT because they realize that there is a huge advantage if they can do more technology instead of just exporting goods. So every government in the different countries are kind of promoting our industries. And I think that is great. And it's a great timing. And at the same time, I see more US businesses looking at Latin America to do outsourcing, for instance, which is our business. And you know, coming from bad experiences in Asia, in India, in East Europe, and the time zone and the culture and everything makes a lot of sense for them. So I think it's a good timing for Latin America to continue growing.
So that's what we're calling nearshore, right? Versus offshore?
Yeah, exactly. So nearshore is kind of, you know, outsourcing to a nearby location, in particular in terms of the time zone. So that is what's more of this is how we created the business. Actually, 12 years ago, we realized that we had great talent in Latin America. And at the same time, we saw that the US companies were, you know, starting to face talent issues, shortage. And so, yes, offer blending that with, you know, competitive costs and good rates and the same quality. Actually, we have clients that say, okay, you guys have the same quality as other agencies that we hire locally. Kind of started to grow the nearshore industry, and there were some big players investing on that. Like I used to work for TCS, you mm-hmm. know, the Indian service provider. They established their branch in Uruguay. Was the first nearshore branch they had 20 years ago or 20, 25 years ago. We were part of the core team and the initial team that was setting up the operations here with my business partner. And then it grew to, I don't know, 2,000 people right now here and many branches across other countries in Latin America. I think this is how nearshoring started, you know, to gain attention within the US CTOs. And right now it's booming, yeah, because when you are building products, it's a lot of agile involved. You need strong communication channels, real-time communication, good culture also, you know, people that is able to challenge you on the daily decisions you are making. And I think those are kind of the benefits that we have in terms of the working from Latin America and working for U.S. Companies.
One of the things I liked when I read your story, the first thing I liked is how you started up out of like a barbecue shop. Yeah. And then the second thing I liked is how your initial thoughts when creating the business were, let's hire some really talented, like top tier people. That way we can hit our deadlines and grow the business and have a higher level of quality. And for me, I'm one of those engineers, right? And so you always want to surround yourself with those types of people. So I thought it was really smart, rather than you saying, let's get a bunch of average people so we could take as much work as possible and all of this. You said, let's get a bunch of really top people together to execute.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the same boat. I mean, I used to be a developer. I have a computer science degree. So, and I had to train tons of junior people and entry-level folks that were, you know, getting into the big projects and not delivering the quality that we thought that it was needed for those critical applications. And this is why when we started, you know, we had, that choice. Either we grow and we, you know, get junior people involved and we grow a lot and we explode, or we try to be more like a boutique that is able to hire the best of the talent in Latin America, because right now we have people coming from, I think, 10 countries, you know, and there is talented people all over the countries. And if you are able to identify but also attract that type of talent, at the end, I think the results are much better. So this is how we decided to grow organically and focused more in the quality of the talent, yes, for sure. And I think that is in our DNA.
So I always like to get expert advice, right? Because you spend all day in this nearshore world and, you know, I don't spend a lot of time there. And I think most of our audience doesn't spend a lot of time there. So I'm curious to know, like, what makes a successful nearshore partnership?
Good question. I think, I mean, we built the business based on the CTO issues and struggles, for sure. And we have been speaking with most of our clients. We have done projects for, I think, more than 100 CTOs and in the States. And we have tons of good relationships out of those projects. I think, you know, the main thing is how you build trust, how you can, you know, trust your development partner. And as I say, there are so many bad experiences in the past with offshoring, for instance. We have many clients truly coming from bad, you know, experiences. And so we work a lot with them in how they can build the trust with the development team. At the very beginning, obviously, you need to invest a lot in the due diligence process and make sure you really understand the culture behind the company that you are engaging with. You know, the type of talent they have, how they recruit, how they manage the project, how agile they are, and so on. Obviously, you look at the credentials and, you know, the type of clients they have, the industries they serve, and so on. But in my experience, I think that building that relationship and investing in the relationship is kind of what drives better results. And so we have clients that we do plan with them, you know, the onboarding processes, how to get the alignment with the nearshore team to make sure that the nearshore team feels a part of the in-house team, you know, when we do co-development with our clients as well. So we do, we care a lot about that relationship. And at the very beginning, it is important also to meet face-to-face, you know, and so we have clients visiting us and they have a great week in Colombia or in Uruguay, hanging out with the teams, sharing the vision of the business, not just, you know, the coding stories and the stories of the scope of the project, but where the business is going, you know, how they will grow in the next few years, how they will, what they will need to do that. And if you do that and you create that common vision, I think at the end it really pays out. And from there, you know, it's about working as a partner and so for instance, we have the two offices we have. We have one in Medellin. We are opening a new branch in the capital of Colombia. Those were created in true collaboration with our existing clients. So, you know, we invited them to open the branches for a couple of them. We even visited the offices before we were renting the space and so on. And they feel, you know, that like this, like part of also your growth and your strategy. And I think that's what has been great for us. I mean, and this is why people, you know, recommend us, and word of mouth is our main source of new projects and businesses. And we do spend a lot on that. And obviously, depending on the maturity on the client side and the, you know, the roles and the stakeholders they have, in some cases, we also help them to navigate all the remote work challenges, for instance, you know, working with a remote team, how to use the right tools, how to set up the ceremonies, and so on. Some of them are less agile, so we do also some coaching in terms of the agile process. So it's but at the end, it's tackling the trust and the communication. I think that is, if you can do that, then the technical aspects you can basically overcome. But I would say that's kind of the key things to consider when doing some nearshoring.
Yeah, because you're relying on that team to produce. So you have to be in line with.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, it's a part of your strategy, I guess. And and so how you can align also your expectations with the career plans, for instance, of your developers. Again, we ask them to treat our talent as part of their teams. And we align on that, and we create a path for the developers to continue growing, exploring new technologies, which is also important to, I mean, you also need to consider how you avoid attrition. You know, it's one of the critical things also. I mean, to stay with your team, we have dedicated teams running for years for our projects. And it is important that you can, you know, provide them challenges and ways to grow if you want to retain the people. You know, and attrition is everywhere, and competition for talent is everywhere, including Latin America.
That's really interesting. So I never thought about this before. So you're the nearshore company, and you have a dedicated team that's working with a specific client, like let's say here, but there's some responsibility on both sides of both the client and you housing them physically in their location to retain them. So like, how do you do that?
Well, it's a lot about, as I say, you know, alignment. So you need to be open to, align with us and with our teams in what are the best growing options and career plans and technologies, technology challenges, and so on. If you can do that, I mean, you can rest assured that the people will stay and will continue engage with your team and your project. But it's a challenge. I mean, it's a you need to the for instance, we work a lot with CTOs, as I said, and the CTOs has to change their mind and say, okay, this is a partner, you know, and this is my strategic partner. It's not just a vendor that will throw bodies to code with me. And if you can do that, a little change in the way you approach the relationship, we have seen great results. And we have CTOs traveling, as I say, down here, meeting a week with the team, going out and hanging out and sharing the visions they have. And if you can spare that time or send one of your managers or your tech leads, I think that's those type of little things actually help to navigate this. And we have many articles in our blog, by the way, in how you can, get the best relationship going with your offshore or nearshore teams. I invite the people to go and visit uit.com, or we can share some articles with you. But it's, I think, what's actually at the end is important if you want to a successful partnership, for sure.
Yeah, I really did. When we were first talking about coming on this show and discussing articles and resources, I really did like the amount of content that you guys have, because whether, you know, you're my nearshore company or not, right? You can go read that content and understand how to have a better relationship with your nearshore provider or your outsource.
Yes, I think we invest a lot on that, you know, and understand the different also engagement models you can have with your partner. I mean, you can have a we like to have dedicated teams, you know, focused on the project, as I say, but eventually you can rely on your partner to take care of the entire project, including, you know, doing the UX UI. We are turning a lot right now into UX UI work, discovery phases, we're envisioning new products, and so different profiles get involved in a project. Or eventually you can just, you know, do some what we call a staff augmentation and get 2, 5, 6, 10 engineers that will plug in into your existing teams. And if you have the processes in place, I think that is a great way to give it a try, because it's the developers or the engineers will follow your processes. You will be leading them. You will have your team and tech leads getting involved and looking at the work that is being produced. So I recommend to start, if you are new to this nearshoring, you know, start with that engagement. Might be easier if you can, and you will realize, you know, the talent and the capabilities that are here in South America. But we do like to produce content to educate, because as I say, we are here to get more people interested in Latin America and realizing the advantage that you could have as a business if you can engage with companies here like us. And so we do invest a lot on that type of content.
I think there's a lot of benefit to being close in the time zone. I did have a question though. What, like, how much time does it take between, like, when someone first contacts you and they actually have a staff member working, like, augmented?
Yeah, sure. Well, we have a bench strategy for sure. It is difficult right now to have talent in bench across the different technologies. We prefer to focus on just a few technologies on a given point of time rather than being a generalist. But so if depending on the time of the year, we could have like 2 weeks to 1 month to set up a team in terms of the lead time. And then depending on the ramp up, we scale on a monthly basis. But it is, as I say, it's more like a boutique approach. So we prefer to start small with a minimum team of 3-4 engineers and scale from there, create that core team that will understand the client and the business and the culture, and we scale from there. So it's not like super fast to hire here. Our process takes lots of stages, coding challenges, interviews, and so on. So, but we prefer to do that. So it's in our case, CTOs looking for 50, 100 people are not the ideal clients for sure. But people who want, you know, truly specialized and senior people that will work as an extension of their teams, I think that is kind of our sweet spot.
I like it. And I like that you're very aware of what your value and your niche is too. Now, what type of technologies are you guys focused most on today? Like, what's really popular right now?
Yeah, sure. Well, a lot of JavaScript. I mean, it's everywhere, as you know. We were a former Microsoft shop at the very beginning, 12 years ago. And we had to, you know, expand to other technologies in the path to where we are today. Right now, we are doing a lot of JavaScript, obviously looking at the popular frameworks like React, which is growing as crazy. There are some newer frameworks coming, but we are trying to decide which one we will be focusing for next year. In terms of we also see a lot of machine learning, you know, coming to our, in terms of the clients interested in growing in that space. So we are building our machine learning capabilities and data scientists, which is kind of a different profile, but that is growing too. So we see some requirements for functional programming as well. So looking at some of those frameworks, Python is still there. So we have a team in Colombia, and we see more Python also in the machine learning space. So I think those are kind of what we are focusing right now. In the mobile space, we really like the cross-platform frameworks. Platforms like Xamarin from Microsoft or React Native right now is also gaining a lot of traction across our projects. So those are kind of the technologies we are focusing right now.
And I'm a fan of React Native too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I've built a
couple promising.
Apps. Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. How do you, were you able to publish those or were more like an internal?
Yeah, you know, I've had this conversation quite a few times. People are saying like, oh, can you take that to maturity? And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, look at the companies that support it. Obviously, I know some of them move away from it eventually in support of two separate native apps, right? Because, mm-hmm. well, they're billion-dollar companies,
obviously,
right? With huge thousands of developers. But for that like mid-level, getting the app out and working, I built this complicated app that was... is the simplest way to explain it was for lawyers to do depositions. It did quite a lot of things and it was on desktop, iPhone, Android, and the iPads. So it was on, you know, three different platforms and we did all the iPhone, Android, iPad stuff in a React Native project. And then we did a React web app project for the other stuff. And we had a common API and we had, you know, lots of users on that, just a ton of traffic on it. And we had two developers and a designer and a project lead.
Wow.
And there was no problems at all. I mean, we had to jump down and make like one custom library for React that like didn't tap into the APIs we needed that were already there. But other than that, like it was really easy to do.
Wow. And
issues.
Yeah. Yeah, you were productive enough.
It saved so much time. The biggest amount of time it saved was we only had to communicate like with one engineer we had two engineers on the product, but we just have that one meeting and they would both be working on the same code base. And so we didn't have to like completely explain everything over and over in two different styles. So
yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, we are a huge huge fans of the cross-platform framework. We did try many in the past, as you can guess, but right now I think we are in the good timing for those because you can eventually build applications that will look and perform as native. So, and right now, you know, we bring also all the UI and UX into the table, so the applications will look amazing and the usability is also great. But I think the advantage right now with these frameworks are the performance you can get. I remember the old times when we were using other cross-platform frameworks, you know, it was, wow, you could notice the difference with the native performance for sure. But right now, you can't even notice.
Yeah, 10 years ago, it wasn't that great, but today it's amazing. So I want to know what the future of the business looks like for Uru IT. Like, are you going for world domination? Like, where are you headed?
Well, it's an exciting time for us. As I said, for sure, we are opening a new branch in the capital of Colombia. We will probably continue opening a few more delivery centers in the future. As I said, it's a great timing, so we are excited. We will continue focused in the US market for now, for sure. It's huge. We have a good reputation already. We have tons of clients there and the demand is growing. So I don't see right now other markets for UIT to be focused. We are obviously looking at how we can add more value to clients. Right now, I think that is the main thing that we are focusing right. So how we can get other profiles involved in the project, you know, as I say, a lot about product management, discovery, inceptions, and so on. So to understand the businesses that behind the product that we are building, machine learning as well is, I think it will continue growing as a practice here. And eventually we are consolidating as a group of outsourcing companies. Right now we did our first acquisition a couple of months ago. It's more like it's a digital agency headquartered also in Latin America. And again, I see a lot of things happening in the near shore and how we can consolidate a group of companies that can have each one a niche and a specific, you know, set of technologies or market. And I see that growing. And our focus has been a lot in the software as a service industry, which, as you know, is also booming. So I think opportunities are great for us and also for other Latin American entrepreneurs, as I said, because there are great applications being born in Latin America. We can see now some unicorns coming from different countries. So a lot of investment coming to us. So I see just a great future. It's a lot of work and we will be busy, but I trust that we will continue growing.
So I actually looked up some of your customers because I was always interested, right? Because so I was like, you know what? I asked Chloe, I said, hey, Chloe, why don't you contact some of the people that they have quotes on their website from and see what they're like. Everybody said such great things about you guys.
Wow. Glad to hear about
that. Yeah. So I was really excited because, you know, whenever we have someone on the show and they, you know, we like to promote their stuff and get you awareness and, you know, help grow the community because we like what people are doing specifically because you focus on high quality people, things like that. But you know, before we do that, we're always like, you know, let's go check out some of their customers and send them emails and talk to them. And yeah, your people were like huge fans of what you guys do.
Yeah, we are lucky that we did meet nice people and that did trust us and what we were doing. And right now, as I say, some of those are even, you know, we have close relationships going with them and, when they move to another company, they, you know, call us and they recommend us and so on. So not only about the ratings and reviews that we get everywhere are positive, but I think what I like the most about this business is how we can build these relationships and how, you know, can get to know each other and get to understand what are the challenges and the passions behind and so on. And I am really proud of both the clients we have and the people we have, and I think it's a great match if you can, you know, build that trust within those sides of the equation. So now to hear that they provided good feedback for sure.
That's exciting, right? Especially as a founder.
Yeah, if you created this, you know, it's a recognition, not only the prizes and awards that you get, but, you know, it's, I think the most important thing is what the clients say. So we are really customer focused.
And I want to take it back to the beginning a little bit here. So we started with, you know, the conversation with, you know, how your company got started and that, but I'm curious to know, like, what got you interested in technology at the beginning? Like, what was the first time? Oh.
Good question. Well, I am 38 years old, so I probably the first memory I have was like I was working with this logo. Remember the little turtle that was moving around the screen, and you had to give directions. I realized then that it was kind of a programming, basic programming language. But when I was 7 years old or so, I remember I was attending those classes and then I got my first computer, the tape and the cassette, I think that's kind of the first memory that I had. So from the very beginning I really liked computers, and I was lucky because I was born in a small town here in Uruguay, like 20,000 people, so having a computer 30 years ago was kind of not so common. And so my parents did give a lot of support in that career. And since then, I had to move to the capital when I was 18 to go to the university. So at that time, universities were only in the capital. Right now we have universities all over the country. And then I went to this IT career, computer science. And I realized at that time that technology was kind of huge and important to make the people's life better. So at that time, I realized that I wanted to commit to technology. Eventually, I moved to management. And then after working at a few companies, I realized to create our own company. But that was kind of the career that I had in that sense. So from the since I was a kid, I think I fell in love with the technology.
I love that because I started very young too. And I don't know, I feel like we're similar in that regard. But so for some of the other people that are listening that might be like engineers, software leaders, things like that, that might be interested in working at Uru, how would they learn more about that? On your website?
Yeah, sure. Our website, we have a careers page as well. Actually, we have, you know, some Americans living in Uruguay and working here at Uru. So I invite them, yes, to go through our blogs. We write a lot about our culture, the agile values behind us, and the way we approach software development. If they like what they see, obviously they can apply or send us a note. Yes, we invite them to join us because, as I said, we believe that talent is everywhere and we like to have the best talent available. So we have people relocating from Italy, from United States, from Cuba. So people that relocate and they want to enjoy living in a safe country and enjoying our culture as well. So yeah, everyone is invited to take a look.
Who oversees your blog and your content?
Well, we have a small marketing team here. I used to be the one leading that. As I say, I am a huge digital marketing advocate. So at the very, very beginning, it was basically me writing content. I was able to, that time, you know, 10 years ago, SEO was kind of the big thing. Right now we have a small team, but eventually everyone is contributing content to us internally. So we have, you know, developers writing, PMs writing, because I think it's also part of our DNA to share with the community. So going to conferences, you know, speaking at conferences, sponsoring things, it's kind of also part of the DNA, and sharing what we do, how things can be done better. We have this view around, you know, how software can be built better in a better way. And we really love to share that with people. Yes, right now they oversee the content, but everyone is contributing in terms of writing.
Well, I like it. I think it looks really good. I'm always a big fan of when things look good and the interfaces, the design, the blog, the content, reading through it. I was just impressed. So shout out to your content team. They're doing a great job.
We put a lot of effort into that. And actually the website, the blog is built on WordPress, but the rest of the website is a custom React application that we developed with the same quality and the same processes that we do with our, the other project that we do. So it was kind of an internal product with a Scrum team behind it that built the and performance, usability, and UI was kind of the main things that we were focusing. So glad to know that you recognize that. It was a huge investment from us.
Well, it's so important, right? Like,
it's what we do. So.
Yeah, it's like I always tell people, like walking into a physical building, right? Like if you walk into a financial planner's office, right? It's beautiful. It's nice. It feels good. There's amenities. It's nice. And then if they go to your website, like that's your storefront for online. And so when someone comes to your website, there has to be useful things there. It's got to look good. It's got to function right. And so whenever I notice a company doing it right, I always like give them a shout out for that.
Thank you. Yeah. For companies like us that are remote, you know, and we need to, from the very beginning, build that trust. So I think that is kind of a key thing, you know, to showcase what we do. We put a lot of effort into the cases, case studies, and so on, because it's at the very beginning, we want to give this good impression. And then you need to, you know, continue delivering. But eventually, we don't have an office space that people can visit. And when they do the due diligence or after we sign a contract, they come down here and visit. But or we go there with our talent and visit them. But it's a first impression, so which matters.
No, first impressions are absolutely critical to relationships, right? You don't want to mess that up.
Yeah, right? Totally agree.
So as we start to wrap up here, is there anything else that you want to get out into the world?
Well, no, just invite everyone to take a look at Latin America and, you know, get informed into the different countries, different cultures that we have here, and the possibilities for the outsourcing industry itself. So I really like to spend time sharing our stories out there and, you know, branding and being an ambassador of Latin America as a software hub. So, and technology hub. So I encourage everyone, if people have questions or they want to know more about the different options that we have here, the companies that we are building in Latin America, feel free to send a note. I will be happy to share with them stories or navigate them through the process of learning how to deal with a nearshore team. I think that is what I really like to do.
Yeah, and you had some good items in the portfolio too on the website, which I like.
Oh yeah, they can go and check it out for sure. Yeah, we have a lot of content there.
All right, so if I find people interested, they start asking me about machine learning or they start asking me about React Native or Nearshore, I'll just say, hey, you gotta go talk to Marcelo.
For sure, yeah. We are building tons of MVPs. You know, we see this trend also that CTOs are starting their own businesses. So we get many founders that are former CTOs and they need a team to build the MVP, as you probably did with your mobile apps. And so we are now putting together this package that is kind of an MVP in a short period of time, 3-4 months, so that you can validate the market fit. And so we are a great partner for CTOs and CTO and technical founders too. And I see that is going to continue growing. So building MVPs, software as a service applications, or when they need extra hands to meet some deadline, we are the perfect partner for those.
Now, have you called SoftBank yet and said, hey, I saw you're putting $2 billion?
Not yet, no. I think they are interested in right now in more like consumer applications, B2C, and they are investing on those. But eventually we can be the machine building those type of products for them. What do you think?
I think we should call them up.
Yeah.
I think we should say, like,
ask for a few millions.
Half. You ask for half. You say, look, give me one of the 2 billion, and then they'll say, no, we'll give you 250.
We can negotiate.
Yeah. Start
high. Latin America is small, you know, we can get easy access to those folks for sure.
Well, I'm excited. I think the future is bright. I see just constantly companies growing, needing more technology talent. And so, you know, thank you for existing and saying that, like, we're not right for everybody, right? We're not right if you need like 100 people overnight, but you do have that core, strong, talented senior level team that you can apply to a project, which is very useful.
For sure. Yeah. We have almost 100 people right now ready to jump into exciting projects. So.
That is awesome. And you're growing. And I see you're in Los Angeles, Miami, and then Uruguay, Medellin,
yeah,
is a new one.
It's been a great great journey for us.
Awesome.
Exciting.
Well, let me know how I can help. If there's any past guests you want me to connect you with, as people come up in the future, I'll say, hey, you know, go talk to Marcelo when it matches up. And then,
as I say, word of mouth and referrals are our main source of businesses right now. So,
that's how you can tell a good business.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, if you need anything from me at all, we'll help you out as much as we possibly can. And thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us.
Thank you, Joel. I also went through your content and I really liked it. And I mean, how you created also this value for CTOs. It's an impressive career that you have built. So congratulations about that. And all the content that you produce, I think it's also like great quality and really, really, really good. So I will continue tuned to your podcast and your content for sure. You have a fan here in South America too. So next visit to the States, I will give you a call.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the kind words. And then Jake and Chloe will loop back with you when we post the content and the clips.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day.
Take care, Joel.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Take care. Bye.